You know how it is. We have heard lots and lots of things from God's presence. And you know, as a young Christian, or we can say as somebody who has just received these messages from God, there is a tendency to want to just walk out there and try to save the world, try to heal the world. When we hear the messages, you think of your brothers, your sisters in the world, and you want to put on the cape of Superman. To bring salvation to the world. But it doesn't work in that way. What matters is how you personally can realize what you have heard from the throne of grace. The whole desire of the Father is towards you, that you come to the fullness, or we can call it to the knowledge, to the full knowledge of the Son of God that you truly are. I'll start off with a proverb from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 9. A proverb, a parable. It's on Saul and Samuel, the great prophet. The Bible says that the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were missing for a number of days now, and Saul and a servant of Kish were sent out to look for the missing asses of Kish. And you know, right in this message, God reveals his desire towards the sons of God. Saul was about to be anointed king of Israel, the same way we are all to inherit glory, to inherit the throne, to inherit the anointing from above. We have been called, we have been blessed, we have been honored, we have been glorified. But the issue here is that this thing comes first by hearing, and by hearing, we now work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We first of all hear the whisper of the Spirit, and mixing this with faith, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Salvation is found only in the name of Christ Jesus. Salvation is found only in rediscovering or knowing yourself the way you are known of God. That is what the salvation that we seek is all about. Salvation is just to realizing who you are. When you know yourself who you truly are, when you understand the mystery of your true nature, your true origin, you rest, you reign. Praise God. So let's quickly go to 1 Samuel chapter 9. I'll start from verse 1. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abel, the son of Zerah, the son of Bekorat, the son of Appai, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulder and upward, he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, was lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. And they passed through the land of Salim, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamite, and they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take care of us, take thought of us. And he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he has cometh, all that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go hither, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. So let's stop here. Now, this is Saul, Kish's son, going about searching for the father's asses, the father's donkeys. And they combed different lands, different territories, but were not unable to find the asses of Kish. And somewhere along the line, the idea came that they should meet Samuel, who was a great seer, a prophet of God. And probably, you know, Samuel would be able to tell them exactly where the asses were. So if you go down to, let us skip some verses. Go down to verse 17, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 17. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spoke to thee of this name shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and I will tell thee all that is in thy heart. And as for thy asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house? Praise God, hallelujah. So Samuel abandoned looking for the father's asses, because the prophet had given him a word saying that the asses have been found. Samuel, forget about those asses. Those asses have been found. You just follow me to the high places and let us eat and drink, and I will tell you things from the Lord. And Samuel followed Saul to this high place where Saul dwelt, and he stayed with Saul the whole day. And it's written that before Samuel left, Samuel anointed Saul. That is before, you know, Saul left Samuel. Samuel anointed Saul and made him king over Israel. You see this in chapter 10, verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed you to be captain over the inheritance?" Now let us stop there. We don't have to read too far, but I just want us to notice and understand the parable here. There is a parable. Praise God. There is a parable, and God is telling us today that what is needed mostly is how we can sit down in fellowship with the Father individually. Many of us are carried away with seeking the Father's asses, evangelizing, trying to change people, you know, trying to bring people into God's kingdom, trying to do works of God. You see, but we cannot do anything as men to please God. Bear it in mind. We're not saying that we should just act as we want. We're not trying to say that we should just be carefree. That is not what we're saying. What we're saying here is our priority is how we can sit down in heavenly places and fellowship with the voice of the Spirit. We just read a spiritual proverb where Kishia is like a father, the asses are the lost people of this world. See it, and Saul in this instance is a type of the first fruit company, is a type of those people who God has chosen, predestined. Oh, hallelujah. And I don't know how many of us know that you have been predestined to do this work, predestined to be king, predestined to be the anointed one of God, predestined to rule. See it, to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Called to walk in the reality. Called to walk as Christ, the anointed of God. Praise God. We don't have to, because the Father's asses have been found. Let us not think that anything you do as a man can truly bring salvation to anybody. As a man, you can't do anything. That is why Jesus Christ spoke about the scribes and Pharisees. They comb the sea and the land, you know, seeking to convert people, proselytes. See, evangelizing, combing sea and land to make converts, only to turn them and make them, you know, two times greater sons of hell than you are already. See, in our humanity as men, we are sons of hell. In our humanity as men, we do not know truth. We do not know anything. So when you go about trying to work on people, you can only produce what you are in other people. And this is not what God intends for us. God seeks a people who will just simply enter into fellowship. Praise God. And as you sit down in heavenly places, fellowshipping, everything takes course. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Everything unfolds before your face. Continuous fellowship with the Father, continuous fellowship with the Word of God brings about the realization of these things that we have heard. Oh, hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. The Spirit of God was over the waters. You are that waters. The Spirit of God hovered over your helpless situation, which is the darkness that was over the face of the deep. The Spirit of God hovered over the formlessness, the void, the desert situation, the desolate situation. It's hovering over you today. And if you can just stay there, it's like the Spirit of God groomed, you know, he stayed over the sea and over the land, over the darkness. And what was happening there is interaction between that formlessness, between that darkness and that which is heavenly, that which is celestial. There was fellowship, there was communion, and there was illumination. And suddenly everything was brought back to life. The darkness was turned into day. Praise God. A new creature came forth, which is the creature of the day. But first of all, the Spirit of God had to hover, had to brood over the waters, like the hen will brood over her eggs. The hen broods over the eggs, and you know, out of nothingness, those eggs, you know, become, you know, living creatures. Chicks hatch out of those eggs. This is another miracle of nature. But there was a period of brooding and, you know, fellowshipping, which every man of God has to do. This is what God was trying to indicate. See, with a pillar of cloud by day over the Israelites, the pillar of fire by night over the Israelites, they were constantly under the cover in fellowship with the heavenly bodies of God. Praise God. It is the fellowshipping with the Father, receiving from the Father, that opens the door into the promised land, the new heavens and the new earth. Praise God. When we fellowship with the Father, when we fellowship in the cloud, hallelujah, when we fellowship in the Spirit, there is a constant change in mind, in our mental faculties. Praise God. There is a change in our speech, our tongue. We begin to speak a heavenly language. No more the language of old, the terrestrial language, the language of the Egyptians, but rather we begin to now speak a language that is celestial, which is the language of God, the language of the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. The language of the ages to come. Jesus Christ says, they shall speak with new tongues. Those that have believed, these are those who have been renewed in their minds. Or rather, those who have put on the mind of Christ. Praise God. It's a spiritual mind. See, it's a mind that is able to walk into what that which men call the invisible. I say men call it the invisible because in reality, it is not invisible to the mind of Christ. It is not invisible to the spiritual mind of Christ. When we put on the mind of Christ, that which seems invisible to men becomes real and true to us. Praise God. Hallelujah. When we put on the mind of Christ, we begin to experience and enter into the new heavens and the new earth. Praise God. We begin to experience the new Jerusalem, God's kingdom, God's world, the land flowing with milk and honey. We begin to experience the presence and the security of God, which is always present but was hidden because we were asleep in our minds. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. Praise God. So there is a word coming today, and that is, let every man allow himself commune with the Spirit individually. Praise God. Going back to the story of Saul and Samuel. See, if Saul had continued combing everywhere, seeking for the father's ashes, there's no way he could have been able to stay, you know, go up into that high place with the prophet and the seer Samuel to receive of the anointing of God. See, there is no way he would have received that blessing that he received. Praise God. It's not as if we cannot share the gospel. It does not mean that. You know, at times people hear these messages and they go from one extreme to the other. It does not mean that we shouldn't share messages. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't fellowship when the need arises. But we're speaking here about priorities. Praise God. The Father's desire is towards you. How you can attain to the knowledge of the Christ in you. How you can awaken and know yourself and the Father. That is the whole goal of the kingdom, of the message, of the things that we are hearing today. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. It's in fellowshipping that a new heavens and a new earth come into view. We can now begin to, you know, consciously be aware of the Myrites, of the company, the invisible host that we are surrounded with. See, as we fellowship and become more and more consciously aware of the Father's presence, knowing it, it doesn't have to be something that you have to know with your physical senses. As we begin to know and grow in this knowledge, a peace that surpasses understanding begins to encompass you. See, stillness begins to encompass you. The fears that that engulf the men of this age no longer becomes your portion, because you know that you live by that presence, that eternal presence that always is. Praise God. Salvation comes by hearing the word of God. So that's salvation. And what is salvation? The salvation of the Lord is recognizing the Christ in you. And you know, when you know the Christ in you, a whole new realm opens up to you. When you know the Christ in you, the abundance, the unlimited spiritual blessings of God are automatically yours, consciously yours. You see, poverty or riches is not judged or seen by how much money you have in your bank account. Neither is it in how many houses you have, how many churches you have, how you can make a big name for yourself. All those things does not imply riches. Neither does poverty imply having an empty bank account. Praise God. I can assure you that there were times Jesus Christ had an empty bank account. At times he walked by faith. See, if he had some money apart, he probably would not have told the tax collectors to go to the mouth of the fish to pick out money from the mouth of the fish. See, but he walked in the richness, in the knowledge of the richness in glory of the Father. Praise God. Riches in the spiritual sense, which is the true sense, is how you know God. Praise God. You know, in the days of Jesus, there were two people that had problems. Two brothers that had problems, and they walked up to Jesus. You know, they had problem over sharing of inheritance, which is something that is very common today. Everywhere you go, you have people fighting over inheritance. The moment the daddy, the parents die, before they are even buried, the siblings, the children are already at war, at each other's throats over the property. So I've seen these things over and over and again. I've experienced it. These are things that have been from time past, time immemorial, because men think that somehow gathering material things onto themselves is a form of cover or protection or whatever. See, but the response of Jesus was quite different. See, you know, the laws of Moses spoke about inheritances and all that, but Jesus Christ skipped all of that and told them, beware of covetousness. Who made me a judge between two of you? Beware of covetousness. Now, a man's, you know, how do I put it? A man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. See it? A man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. See, that is the mindset of the man of this age. He thinks that life, true life, is in gathering unto yourself. Now, life is enjoyment, and life is satisfaction, life is peace. It's enjoyment, it's everything that is pleasurable, that is life. And somehow we think that gathering unto ourselves as men is life, but Jesus Christ says, no, beware of covetousness. This was the error of Adam right from the beginning. See it? Then Jesus Christ gave the parable of the rich man who built a lot of warehouses, storehouses, to put things into them, to gather grain into them. See it? And he thought that probably he will live to enjoy all those things. See, he blessed his soul and said, well, let me relax and enter into my rest, only for him to die that night. Praise God. Jesus Christ says that it is so for those that lay up treasure unto themselves and are not rich towards God. You can lay up material things unto yourself. You can lay up knowledge, human knowledge, the goods of this world, the wisdom of this age, unto yourself and lose out on God's realm. See, and when you do that, you are poor, miserable, naked, wretched. And we have all gone all this way in Adam, isn't it? This all the way we all went in times past. But he's saying today that I knock on the door of your heart. If you hear, if you listen, if you allow me to come in, I will enter in and fellowship with you. Now you see the principle here of fellowshipping. And as I fellowship with you, there is an awakening. Praise God. There is a renewing of the mind. There is a realization of the Son of God in you, who is rich in knowledge towards God. Praise God. Rich, poor in relation to this world, but rich in the knowledge of God. Knowing God, knowing Christ, knowing that I and the Father are one. Because knowing the Son is actually also knowing God. Knowing the Son is actually realizing the all power and the all glory that God has bestowed on us from the beginning. Now, that is the only thing that any man needs for his sustenance in this world. You don't need a dime in your account. You don't need a drop of fuel in your car. You don't need anything once you have the full knowledge of the Son of God in you, because all power in heaven and earth is in you. And that power is what will clothe you, is what will feed you, it's what will cover you, what will protect you, is what will promote you. It is the door to everything that you ever need. And it will keep you in perfect peace. It says that the Lord maketh rich and he added no sorrow to it. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. So a continuity in fellowshipping in the word of God is key to it. Oh, hallelujah. Fellowshipping as you go along the way, because you know there are many, many things that come along the line. Say it every day as you walk this walk. Our ability to be firm and turn our backs on this world like Moses did. You know, Moses for 40 years, Moses was in exile, self-inflicted exile. So he had divorced himself from this world to rediscover himself in the I Am. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. That is one inspiring story. These are the kind of things we meditate on. Moses had left everything. The knowledge of Egypt. He had left everything, forgotten about Egypt, and started a new life by faith. See, until he came to the pinnacle of Zion, which is Horeb, where he met the burning bush, and he rediscovered the I Am. Now, the I Am is the Christ in you. It is the Spirit of God, the eternal Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. I Am the Christ. Before Abraham was, I Am. I am the one that spoke to Abraham. I am the one that walked in the midst of the garden. I am the one that created the heavens and the earth. So that is the all power that every man rediscovers as he allows the guardians of the Spirit lead him on into God's world, God's kingdom. Praise God. And along with this is the new heavens and the new earth. See, Moses is an example of the Christ appearing with great power and with great glory. Praise God. He's an example of the new creature of God. He's an example of the Son of God. He's the example of God manifest in the flesh. Is the example of the Father being revealed to this world. Is the Spirit of the I Am working to bring deliverance upon in the earth. Working, hallelujah, to redeem those who are in bondage to Satan and his vices in this world. Praise God. But you see, there was a period. Continuous fellowshipping and soul isolation. When Moses first got out of Egypt, he was in wilderness for a couple of times. By faith, no place to go, no place to lay his head. Finally, he rescued the daughters of
the priest of Midian at a well, and we see how everything was divinely ordered. Moses, you know, watered the flocks of this, the daughters of the high priest, and after which he was invited to their house, and he was received into the house as a child of the high priest. And the Bible says that bread was set before them. Praise God. Bread was set before Moses to eat. So Moses ate bread. You see it with the priest of Midian, who had seven daughters, and you see that all these are symbols of fellowship with the Father. Praise God, fellowship with the Father. You know, the Bible is full of parables. It's full of parables, and you know, how do I put it? And all these things are not just there for to be puffed up. It's not there for gathering knowledge and whatever. No, no, no. It's there to strengthen you. See, to give you an anchor to that which is beyond the veil. Praise God. At times you might struggle, you know, with hanging on, but it is the revelation knowledge that is imparted in you by the Father that causes you to be solid. Solid as a rock, unmovable in an unjust generation. Certain things might come at times and everything might look, you know, topsy-turvy and, you know, but your ability to be able to stay focused on that invisible presence beyond the veil of human reasoning is what will keep you going. Praise God. Hallelujah. Even Jesus Christ himself had to be strengthened. You know that? The Bible says that even at Gethsemane, while he prayed, you know, he sweat blood. He prayed and he struggled against his own human will. You know, the human aspect of Jesus tried to resist the cross. If it was the will of Jesus as a man, he wouldn't go to the cross. He wouldn't obey the Father. And like I assure you that if it was your will as a man, you cannot follow the Lord in the regeneration. See, but the Father sent an angel to strengthen Jesus. And the strengthening today comes by the word that you hear. Because as we are fellowshiping today, don't think that you are fellowshiping with man. You are fellowshiping with the host of heaven. With that one angelic body, which is a composite body of myriads. You are fellowshiping with them. And they are revealing great things to you, not to puff you up, not for not. Look, all those things, the knowledge that you receive by the revelation word, which is likened to the deep waters from the rock, is simply to establish you, to cause you to be unmovable in your quest to attain to the place in its fullness, in its entirety. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. So when we see stories like this, you know, all over the Bible, pockets here and pockets there, is the Father speaking. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. So Moses ate bread with a priest of Midian who had seven daughters, which is the church, the seven churches. Praise God. Hallelujah. The priest of Midian in this instance is a type of the Christ. Is a type of the Father, sorry. It's a type of Father God. And that bread that Moses ate is like communion with the Father. Oh, hallelujah. We have to allow ourselves to be, you know, grounded in continuous communion. Even when you attain to the place, even when you have, you realize everything in its entirety, the voice is always still there to fellowship with, continuously. It's forever. Hallelujah. It even goes beyond the letters of the word. As you walk along the street, as you look around, you can be in fellowship with the Father. It will open your eyes to see His thoughts in the creation, because the invisible things of God are clearly understood by the things that are seen. The invisible things of God are clearly being understood, see it, by the things that are seen, by the things that we read, by the things that we hear, by the things that we see, that we perceive with our natural senses. We begin to understand the things that are not seen, neither perceived with the natural senses. Because everything in the natural is a parable. Everything in the natural is simply a pointer to God's invisible kingdom, to God's world. You see, as men, we have been so used to this world, we have so married this world, we have so united ourselves in this world, and somehow we think that this is the only thing that there is. But there is an ever-present realm of the Father, which is always there present. There is the fellowship of the myriads of angels. There is the fellowship of the body of Christ. There is continuous activity in God's kingdom. See, but the natural man who is dead to spiritual things cannot know these things. The natural man in Adam has become dull of hearing. He can't see, he can't hear. He doesn't realize that God is present. God's kingdom is present. Fellowship with the Father will open your eyes to the reality of this world of God. And you can only enter in to this dimension by awakening to the Christ in you, who is the man of the Spirit. The Christ in you is a spiritual man. Praise God. Realize that Christ in you, a new world enters in. Put on the mind of the Christ. Begin to see as the Christ. Begin to perceive the creation as the Christ. And a new world opens to you. A world without end. A kingdom without end. A glorious kingdom without end. See, but nothing that defiles or makes a lie can enter into God's kingdom. Now, what is the thing that defiles and makes a lie? First of all, it starts off with the carnal mind. The mind of man. The flesh. Flesh and blood cannot enter into God's kingdom. Flesh and blood is that thing that defiles and makes a lie. It is that thing that formulates idols for you and has caused you many offenses. Praise God. It is that thing that denies the indwelling Christ. It is that thing that consequently denies the Father. It is the carnal mind. It is the serpent. That thing that crawls on the dust. It cannot enter in. Nothing that defies or makes a lie can enter in. Hence, the old man has to die. So, and there has to be awakening to the Christ. A new world, a new creation. It's now present. See, you see, the thing about it is that God's kingdom is always there. It's always present. The door is always open. When John saw this thing in the book of Revelation, the gates were open. It was not shut. In fact, it's written that the gates are open day and night, and it will never be shut. And kings would flow in, bringing their glory into God's kingdom. Now, these things are always happening. See, in one part of the world, one part of the globe, somebody is hearing God's kingdom, God's message. Somebody is awakening. In China, somebody is awakening. In Japan, somebody is awakening. In Africa, somebody is awakening. But you can never see these things with your natural senses. Forget it. You're waiting for signs. You're waiting for something to happen. You're watching that from the Mayan calendar. Are you watching out for some kind of ancient prophecy? Something to be fulfilled in the Middle East? Before God's kingdom comes? Before Christ comes? Well, you have been misled. You've been deceived. Because the kingdom of Christ is already present. The gates are open. Everything is present. See? It's just the prodigal son. The son has to awaken back, that's all. And enter back. When the son awakens, he will rediscover the way back to the father. He will ascend back to father. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. May the Lord strengthen us day and night. See it. Let us enter in and partake of this salvation that many have sought for over the ages. Joy unspeakable. Praise God. A realm where there is no more darkness. For it is written in the New Jerusalem, there is no more day, no more night. No night there. It's just day. No more curse. No more sorrow, no more pain. All things are passed away. Oh, hallelujah. And people live by the countenance of the living God. So let fellowship with the Father. Sit. Dissolve the old world. Fellowship with the Father. Let it dissolve your old world. And open a new dimension into God's kingdom. God bless you. Amen.
You.